Oakmont, Chapter 1, in which we try to make known to you the friends at Oakmont. Beautiful, beautiful. I never saw anything more perfectly beautiful than this, even in my dreams. If you only knew. Think so? I don't see anything particularly beautiful in it. Listen, see? Every now and then, one or the other stops and lifts up its head and cries. Then, the fair and beardless face, childlike eyes and ways and words, you'd puzzle yourself to know whether he were 12 or 20. This is Adri. In fact, were it not for his size, as he sat, he might be only 6 or 8 years old. For what we knew, might as likely be a girl with his long hair and small white hands. For not for the boy's, or rather the man's, clothing which he wore. It is beautiful. Oh, look at the color, continually changing as it glows before the wind, the shadows of the clouds flying over the hull. I never saw anything prettier in all my life. I believe I could write poetry about it. Oakmont! What a queer name for one's place. But how beautiful they are, those groups. See what lovely shadows they cast? Suppose it's because the air is so clear, but everything's so bright somehow. And all around, it's the same. All around and around. Chapter 2, in which we are very busy indeed at Oakmont. Yes, very busy indeed. Many things were in Adri's head. It was on Tuesday, an April Tuesday afternoon, and go to sleep. It could hardly be called a hill, so rolling it was, to take their first good look around. As written in the first lines of this volume, that was on Wednesday. Thursday morning, you know, found on the front porch, the new uncle. The fact is that it was only after he, the new uncle, had arrived that Adri became anxious, a great deal, too much, so all the time. The children were, Adri thought, the children were nothing. Adri realized only 1 leader was necessary. It was always necessary to have a leader, not 6 leaders or 2, a leader in everything. It's the best to elect some one person to command from the start, a nutting party, boating excursions, Sabbath school festival, or whatever it is, must have some one suitable person to say quietly, but decidedly, do this, do that, don't do that. Usually, such are the very ones that need most to be ruled themselves, some quiet one of them all, the quietest one of all generally, one who can be perfectly kind and considerate and perfectly firm at the same time. That's the one to rule. Rarely a body, however small, but there is a born king among them. God has so ordained it because the world would go to pieces without, and sooner or later, all acknowledge their king, though often it's a queen and enthroned, such as his true place before that. All is confusion. After that, all goes on smoothly, as you please. Only if you think you are born king or queen, and if if you are, remember, you must rule. Secretly, Adri had plans. Adri's personal view from the porch at Oakmont rather resembled fungus, and the uncle had to labor after his family as he rested a moment from branding another. Your iron mustn't be either too hot or too cold. If you brand too slight, it won't last. If you brand too deep, the worms will get in. They will get in. The worms will get in.
Yeah. eternally. So take me in turns, internally. When I'm on fire, my body will be forever yours, nocturnal me.
An ice campfire, old burning wood, in a world of wild,
ignite
our dreams of starry skies, and you and me, us realize
our bigger themes of
take.
Adri just wakened out of a little nap. His poor emaciated limbs were coiled up about his tongue. His sunken chest was stooped forward, his long, slender arms lying in his lap, the small, childish hands clasped. He raised his eyes at his uncle, spoke, looked at him exactly. "What pretty hands you have," the uncle said after a while, very quietly, for he knew how nervous Adri was. And taking one of the helpless hands in his. Now, the only thing in the world Adri was his hands. They were beautifully formed, perfectly clean and white, the nails nicely cut. And it was no wonder they never did anything but rest or hold. This last, Adri had instinctively closed them upon lying wide open in his lap, a little nervous about that treasure, his only one. Adri always was. "What beautiful hands you have, Adri," his uncle repeated, as they lay in his strong contrast, too. "Adri, oh, wouldn't you like to run about?" Adri's eyes are fixed in such inquiring glances upon the questioner. "Who made you?" The uncle is obliged to repeat the question. "Who made you, Adri?" Adri listens with surprise at such a question. The next moment, he raises his long, slender arms, the fingertips of each white hand touching those of the other, as far as he can above his head. Then, very slowly, he parts his hands, bringing them down and back again. He opens, but as he does so, he says one word, "Here," but the gesture spoke for itself.
You get in there, it's one against one, and the challenge of the whole thing, the fear of it was exciting. It was like your adrenaline. When you have a fight boxing, all your adrenaline's going, and the fear, it's like being on a trip.
Nothing
Nothing you can sing to count the sun. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. There's nothing you can know that isn't known. Nothing you can see that isn't shown. No way you can be that isn't where you're meant to be. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. Nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. Seeing your eyes, read it in books. Wants love without the looks. Seen in your eyes, read it in books. Who wants love without the looks? Get in. Get in. Get in. She, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you. With a love like that, you know you should be glad. How does it feel to be on your own? Like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone.
I'm a left-wing socialist, yeah. But didn't I scare you? Put the price of coal up, and my auntie has to buy it, and it's like buying gold. So I voted for Thatcher, yeah.
We come to pay homage to the golden one. We share and bear the message of your newborn son. We follow paths of falling stars in and out of mangers and other bars. Opportunity knocked you up, I guess. Gave you your little baby success. You've got potential, you have the gift, you have the chance to heal a million rifts. We've been sent to sing a lullaby for you. We've been sent to sing a lullaby. We've brought oils, gold and wine and bread, dreaming pillow for his divine head. Astrologers all, we plot the charts, and wise men, we can look into people's hearts. A doom is on this child that I can see. He don't belong in this time with you and me. His life will not be very long before you know it.
They put wax in his chair and stuck pins through the hide at the bottom of it to see him jump when he went to sit down. I couldn't help laughing, Hubert added. And I was afraid of them too, sang Another World. Adri only looks up from his plate. The children laugh. Ask him again, Eddie, Rosie begs. Rosie squeezes Adri's arm and whispers in his ear, a boar? Don't you remember? A boar, that witch? Oh, Adri, Prosy says. Now ask him the question. And Edward again does so. A boar? That which is evil? Adri repeats with great solemnity. Adri is right, Mr. Beach said, hushing with his uplifted hand the amusement of the children at Adri's manner. Behold, I stand and knock. If any will come and sup with me. That'll do, Adri. Chapter 9, in which we spend a night on the prairie. We did attend at the beginning of the last chapter to take a good look at Mrs. Beach as she sat on the front porch. It is not our fault that we did not. Now, boys, Mr. Long will add, it's late, time for bed. Night comes, Mr. Long will dig a hole in the earth in the center. Oh, Pa, oh, Uncle, a bear, it was on the prairie towards the thunderstorm that we would go, and the only thing to do was to sight it anymore. They waited with their rifles ready until the bear should come up and read it at last. At the instant, Adri lifted his head and placed it thus exactly in the range of his uncle's rifle. The uncle had taken aim, his finger actually on the hair trigger. Only a little pressure of that finger, only a soft touch on it. Softest touch in the world. Chapter 10. It is December, Adrius rolled down the bank with a bullet through his head, and who can tell all the misery from this to Oakmont, to the uncle most of all. His uncle sat on the bank of the ravine for a time as helpless as poor Adrie, trembling in every limb, a kind of union of business and pleasure, the businesses in hunting cows and horses of their brand, the pleasure being the killing of such unbranded of man as they happen upon, although as both are done on horseback and in the bright, beautiful air. Both are pleasures beyond anything. The worms will get in.
The one who says he ain't going anywhere. It's 4 in the morning, the end of December. I'm writing you now just to see if you're better. New York is cold, but I like where I'm living. There's music on Clinton Street all through the evening. I hear that you're building your little house deep in the desert. You're living for nothing now. I hope you're keeping some kind of record. Yes, and Jane came by with a lock of your hair. She said that you gave it to her that night that you planned to go clear. Did you ever go clear? Oh, the last time we saw you, you looked so much older. Your famous blue raincoat was torn at the shoulder. You'd been to the station to meet every train. Then you came home without Lily Marlene. And you treated my woman to a flake of your life. When she came back, she was nobody's wife. Well, I see you there with a rose in your teeth. One more thin gypsy thief. Well, I see Jane's away. She sends her regards. And what can I tell you, my brother, my killer? What can I possibly say? I guess that I miss you. I guess I forgive you. I'm glad you stood in my way. If you ever come by here for Jane or for me, well, your enemy is sleeping and his woman is free. Yes, and thanks for the trouble you took from her eyes. I thought it was there for good, so I never tried.
It was mean, Hubert said afterward. Whether he would have refused had he been with them to have done the same for that reason, who can say? But we have to leave that untold. Did you ever see such a fool? Edward said to his uncle one morning as they were riding as usual over the prairie. All I had to do was draw out my revolver and pop him over, as Hubert calls it. How he jumped when the bullet struck him. Poor fella.
I don't know about his being so poor. Everybody says poor Adrie.
Mr. Long continues.
He does not suffer very much. He can't run and ride and hunt like a man. And he's more dependent on the family than a man would like
if he only knew it. But he doesn't.
The very people we pity most, lunatics, idiots, people in the last stages of sickness, are not half as miserable as we make them out. Their case hurts us, looking on more than it hurts them, we say.
How I'd hate it if it was I. But it isn't I. It's they. They themselves don't suffer half what we think. Just so about dying.
When a man is prepared to die, it hurts us more to see him die than it does him to do it.
Brings us to chapter 13, in which our story comes to an end, at least for the present. There was something singular about life before he came to Oakmont, wasn't there? It stresses me to death to see Adrie. Only Prosy does not like the way in which her aunt keeps aloof from and seem really afraid of poor Adrie when she is at Oakmont. But somehow, Adrie has become, during the stay of the family at Oakmont, more the center than ever before. Communication, ramification, sublimation, misinformation, bastardization, insinuation, usurpation. A brand new nation. Adrie lives. Thank you.
sober an der Licht, Edri war nicht, jeden Mann gelernt, Augenblick, gelingen hätt, unfalling spreit, des enthüllten Moos, der Frasee Schluss, von des Hustens, des ist der Freit. Gratum, et optatum, sind vergangen, mehr ist langen, und zu Ellen ist der Klebst, als ob ewig schlecht erwarte, ein Spiel in Steinen, Erstatmonien, der nun anwirten und sind gleich, Albert und des, der unerdrückte Schlaufen. Sail.
kids.
Touch to make a measurement smile.
Lay it you'd say you got something for me. And something you call love, I confess. You've been a mess where you should have been a mess. And now someone else is getting all your best.
Are you ready, boots? Stop walking.